Miranda watches her left hand move across her sketch pad, as if unsure of its destination. Up it swoops, leaving a sooty trail across the thick white paper. Then across to the right, down again, across. A frame. The pencil lifts from the page for a moment, hovering in midair as her eyes turn toward the window. Dawn arrives abruptly in Mazruk, the sky slipping from black to gold in the few seconds it took Miranda to pour a cup of coffee. Their garden is already gilded, its vast lawn glittering with last night's rain, its neat rows of flowers unclenching and tilting toward the sun. Along the periphery is a procession of crooked trees, leaning against the iron spikes of the gates like tired sentries. Bougainvillea crawls up the walls and thrusts its blooms through the bars, unwilling to be contained. Across the far end of the grass stretches the pool, as yet undisturbed by morning swimmers. The sky, as always at this hour, is a relentless, cloudless blue. Miranda's view of this paradise, this oasis of theirs in this desert country, is partitioned into 8 nearly equal parts by wrought iron bars. Painted white, they form a lace-like scrim across the window. The ornate metal curlicues strive to disguise their utilitarian nature, but fail. Her hand has gone back to work. The iron bars unfurl across her page, but as they would be seen from outside. For behind the bars is not a garden, but a girl. A woman, vivisected. Her head framed here, her heart here. Here her hand, and here her mouth. Drawing, Miranda often feels like an adolescent, toying with a Ouija board, wondering to what degree she subconsciously controls the movements of its indicator. Simultaneously creator and conduit, she can rarely predict exactly what will emerge. So absorbed is she in her puzzle pieces that she doesn't hear the alarm at first. How long has it been buzzing? She hasn't yet touched the mug of coffee on the table in front of her, or made Finn's cup of tea. Barefoot, she runs down the hall to their bedroom and lunges for the alarm on Finn's bedside table. Why had they set the alarm? They have a child. They do not need an alarm. Then she remembers. The policemen. The policemen are still here, which means she has to dress for breakfast. Pausing by the bed, she listens. Nothing. Cressida still safely asleep. Sweetheart? Gently, she shakes Finn's shoulder, kisses his eyelids. I'm awake, he says. Clearly not. I am, I'm wide awake. He says this without moving, without opening an eye. Finn is not a morning person. On weekdays, he rises at 6 a.m. to eat breakfast before heading to the embassy by 7:30. But on weekends, he'll sleep all day if she doesn't wake him. I'll get your tea. In the little private kitchen between their room and Cressida's, where she habitually spends the first hour of the day with her sketch pad, Miranda brews a mug of Earl Grey. Finn won't drink her coffee, she makes it too strong. After leaving his tea on the side table by his still motionless head, she returns to the kitchen for her own mug. At best, she gets an hour of blissful solitude, but today she has only 20 minutes before she needs to scramble into a sundress. She rarely has the luxury of solitary mornings, once she leaves the relative privacy of their upstairs suite. By the time she slips down the marble staircase, their Ethiopian housekeeper, Nagazi, will be busy in the kitchen, slicing mangoes and melons, peeling pomegranates, and brewing coffee. Bird-like Desta will have already begun polishing the downstairs bathrooms. And Jonas and Semere will be pulling up weeds in the flower beds and tending to their vegetable patches. Miranda wouldn't have thought much would take root in the cracked earth of this arid city, but their figs, lettuce, broccoli, tomatoes, and rhubarb thrive. By the time Miranda and Finn have finished their muesli and fruit, swallowed the last of their coffee or tea, and wiped their mouths with the rainbow-striped cloth napkins, Teru will be in the kitchen, slowly turning the pages of their cookbooks as she writes her shopping list. Though often deprived of solitude, Miranda is awash in other luxuries. She doesn't have to cook, she doesn't do her own laundry, and best of all, she doesn't have to leave the house unless she wants to. She can paint all day, or play with her daughter, or stare out the window and daydream. But there's no more time for dreaming today. Miranda finishes her coffee, then pads to their bathroom to brush her teeth.